Open your Bibles to Romans, the book of Romans. And then ushers, you guys, we're not going to hand it out yet, but is there somebody back there that has the handouts ready? Okay, we're going to do that in just a few minutes. So just want to make sure that you guys are ready. Let's stand together and we're going to turn to Romans chapter 12. Brother Ezekiel, I hear myself out there more than I hear myself here. And I don't really mind if the people hear me, but I'd rather hear myself. So Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I've at different times, maybe a Thursday night, spent a little bit more time on this topic that I'm going to spend on this morning. I don't think in 24 years of the church, I don't think I've ever spent one message on this topic. Okay, and I'm going to just tell you ahead of time, I have 19 pages of notes. Okay, that means we're not going to leave here and go to lunch. We're going to leave here and go to dinner, okay? No, I got to get to Monterey Park. That, what that means is I read a lot of my notes, okay? And the message this morning is on spiritual gifts, okay? Spiritual gifts, we don't mean the gift of healing, okay? We're not talking about the gift of tongues and outdated gifts and they're not here anymore. We're not doing that. We're just talking about the gifts in Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 12. I promise you, let me ask you this. And by the way, this probably half our staff would say, I'm not sure. How many would say this, of the seven motivational gifts in the book of Romans, how many would say, I'm confident I know what my spiritual gift is? Okay, that's about, was that 15 people? Maybe? At least? Okay. Maybe 20 people? Okay. It looks like we have about 5,000 people in here. So understanding your spiritual gift is important. This is more of a Bible study, a Thursday night. This should take three or four weeks, but we're gonna cram it in this morning. Spiritual gifts, Romans chapter 12. If you have a pen, I want you to write in your Bible. If you don't write in your Bible, that's fine. I want you to circle seven words, okay? Look at Romans chapter 12 and verse number 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. That's some good advice. Don't be a big head, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body or one church, and all members have not the same office. Please get this, and I'll say this. One reason we have problems at home, in our marriage, with our children, in the workplace, in the ministry, in the church, is because we want everybody to be just like us. We want everybody to think just like us. But God says we have different offices. It doesn't mean an office. It means we have different roles in the church. And some are gifted in other areas. And so this we need to understand. So for as many, verse 4 again, many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing, okay? It's a key word there, differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, please circle that word prophecy. By the way, that's not the, well, you know, I can see the future, you know, and by the way, I've had people come up to me and tell me all kinds of things. Pastor, I had a dream last night. Okay, don't go there, okay? Or, you know, I saw the, I won't go into it, I don't have time. Got too many pages. Prophecy, circle that word prophecy. Okay, there is a gift of prophecy for today. Okay, prophecy. Let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Verse 7. Or ministry. Circle the word ministry. That's the servant gift. Ministry, minister, the word servant. Okay, that's gift number 2. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teaches, that's the 3rd gift. Teaching, teacheth. By the way, it's not necessarily teaching, but I'll explain it the best I can in the short amount of time. On teaching, so that's 4 gifts. Teacheth, the teaching gift. Verse 8, or he that exhorteth, that's the 5th gift. Exhorteth, okay, that's my gift God's given me. Okay, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, that's the next gift. We need some more of those in the church, amen? or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Okay, so that's number 5. Or he that ruleth, circle ruleth, okay? And that's the organizer or the ruler, the administrator. He that ruleth, that's a gift, with diligence. And he that showeth mercy, circle mercy, with cheerfulness. Father, help us, and we have a short time to cover a lot. And Lord, I pray that this message would be helpful to God's people. And then, Lord, if there's someone lost here at the end of the service, we pray they would come Christ for salvation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. There's a lot that we don't have time to say. People say, when do you get your spiritual gift? By the way, guys, it'll probably be about 15 minutes, so you can be seated. Okay, I don't want you to have to stand. I stand, but I don't want you to have to stand. So it'll be about 15, 20 minutes. We're not going to go on this. People say, when do you get a spiritual gift? Okay. There's different beliefs based on different things, but I believe you get your spiritual gift when you're born, and it's spiritually activated when you get saved, but we won't discuss that this morning. Often our lack of knowledge really causes a lot of problems. Many of God's people's lives are splattered with failure and defeat because of the lack of knowledge of God's word. The understanding of spiritual gifts in an area that is vital for God's people or their lives and family may be why, or the people that don't understand why many lives are in disarray, stinky and messy. All because of a lack of knowledge of God's word in this era of spiritual gifts. I heard a story. Brother Gibbs told a story. The Bible says God's people are destroyed for the lack of what? Knowledge. That's why you ought to study your Bible. That's why you ought to be in church whenever the church doors are open. Okay, you just get more knowledge. You got to apply it. Okay, but often a lack of knowledge, even in one area, this area is one that I really believe a lot of families, a lot of fussing could stop, a lot of marital problems could could be resolved pretty simply. Brother Gibbs tells a story about, he said he was going to take a vacation with his family, and it was years ago, probably 30 years ago, maybe longer than that, and and he was going to get a motorhome. How many of you ever thought, by the way, you know Wardlow here? Wardlow, the motorhome place is on the other side of Wardlow. My house is right here in Wardlow. I look out that window and I see those motorhomes. And you say, what does it make you think? Vacation. These huge motorhomes where they rent them. You ever thought about renting a motorhome? But Brother Gibbs said, this year we're going to rent a motorhome. He had his three children. And he said, his wife said, do you know about a motorhome? Did you know how to operate it? I mean, it's just like a house on wheels. He said, sort of. You know how men, our wives ask us and we start lying. So they went, and then he, of course, when they went to rent the motorhome, I think he got aside from his wife. He says, now, how do I run this thing? He says, everything's right here in this book. He said, okay, give me that book. And so he held on to the book tightly. And 2 days later, they went, I don't know what this is called, motorhome stops, RV places. We got a motorhome. We don't have a tent. Thanks. But he went in there, and his wife said, honey, inside the hallway, there's a red light going on. And she said, you know what's going on. Why is the red light going? What's the deal with the red light? He says, I'll figure it out. And he goes in the hallway, and there's this red, bright red light on. And so he said, got to open the book. And he opens the book. And it gave, and it said that that red light means your holding tank is full. Okay, your holding tank is full. The holding tank is, that's your sewer line, your septic tank on wheels. And so it says, okay, and he's go, all right, holding tank full, now what? And then it said, what you have to do is find a sewer dump station. He said, okay, I'll find a sewer dump station. And then he read in the little book, and they found a sewer dump station. It said, put your left rear tire by the sewer dump. And they did that. So he pulls the motor home there. And it said, go to the bumper and the hose is under the bumper. Okay? And so he said, I didn't see a hose back there. And he went back there and he said, yeah, sure enough, there's a hose under the bumper. Then he's reading, and it said, in order to have positive pressure, you have to put 10.5 pounds of air pressure in the tank so that when you let it out, it has positive pressure. And so he said, okay, honey, you get on the other side. I'm going to put the pressure in, okay? But he said only one thing. He missed, it said 10.5, he missed the decimal point. And so he said, I need to put in 105 pounds of pressure in here. So he started putting 105 pounds of pressure in, and he said, okay, honey, you go around there. I'm going to put the pressure in, and then I'll let you know once it has 105 pounds. And then he said, when it's full, I'll tell you, and then you can put the hose in the dump tank. So his wife went around, and they're waiting. He said, man, it's taken a long time to put in 105 pounds of pressure. And he's just going and going, and his wife came around and said, what's taking so long? And he said, it takes a long time to put in 105 pounds of pressure. And then she said, also, on the other side, the tanks, she said, they're bulging. Do you know why they're bulging? He said, yes, they're designed to bulge. And so it's okay. And so while they were doing that, it's brand new. Don't get ahead of me. Okay? This brand new, it's like a big Greyhound bus motorhome, pulls up right next to him, brand new. And he pulls up, and they're working, and he's starting to, you know, Brother Gibbs, he's getting the air in there. And, hey, how's it going? Hey, nice wheels. He said, man, he says, brand new. Brand new. He said, I'm just trying to air out the dust in the tanks. Brand new. He said, we don't have one mosquito on this, you know, smashed on the front window. It's brand new. He says, you know how, and by the way, this is probably 30, 40 years ago. His children are all grown up. They all have their own children. And he said, you want to know how much this thing cost? He said, sure. He said, $232,000. And so he was sitting there. And then Brother Gibbs told Mrs. Gibbs, he said, we're almost at 105, but I don't think we need 105. It's hard to get up to 105. And so he said, okay, pull the valve and go ahead and start pumping. And she pulled the valve. Have you ever got a hose and it just goes? She pulled the valve and the hose went all on that new butt, all on that new truck motorhome. Well, they had a screen open. And of course, Brother Gibbs on the other side, he's talking to her, and he comes over and he sees this going on. And on the other side of this brand new motorhome, where it's a little children's pool, all the little kiddies in the little children's pool. So all of a sudden, it's this Mrs. Gibbs is, and then all of a sudden it goes straight. It's like a snake, and it goes over, and then, you know, Brother Gibbs is going, oh, what's going on over there? And the kiddie pool was getting it. And Mrs. Gibbs was just saying, oh, Lord, help me. Okay. Now, there is a big mess all because of just one little dot. One little decimal. Okay. This morning, maybe in your marriage, in your family, in your ministry, maybe in your workplace, there's a big mess. Okay. A big mess. You say, why? It might be because we don't understand this one. By the way, this isn't the only one. This truth, or these truths about spiritual gifts. We have, just this morning, five primary goals in this message. One is to help understand how the Lord made you different than other Christians. I'm married to a prophet. What? Your wife's a prophet? Yep. She's different. She sees everything. By the way, when you're spirit-led, you're not going to be cantankerous as a prophet. When you're not spirit-led, people see you coming, they walk the other way. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. But we need to understand that the Lord made us different. And number two, it's going to help us to understand how the Lord made others different than ourselves. Number three, by the way, I heard someone say once that I would not marry anybody, I would not be a part of the marriage ceremony, if this husband or this future husband and this wife, future wife, did not know each other's spiritual gifts. Okay? Because if you have an organizer or a ruler as a husband, okay, all of his, and I'm getting ahead of myself, all of his white shirts are right there, hanging together. All of his blue shirts are hanging together, and then all of his beige shirts are hanging together. Then his socks, he has a white sock drawer and a black and brown sock drawer. And his wife isn't like that. And then the husband saying, hey, you're supposed to be the wife, and you're supposed to keep this place straightened out. No, you happen to be the organizer or the ruler, and she's a mercy. By the way, if an organizer, and I'm getting ahead of myself, you get this. If you're a ruler and you married a mercy, mercy's like dogs, cats. They bring in stray squirrels. Organizers, they don't like hair. And all of a sudden, you're going, man, you're just undisciplined bringing in all these cats. No, they're mercy. And so you need to understand that God has made us all different. By the way, you still need to get rid of the cats. Amen? Anyway, let's get to the next point. Number three is to help get us on the road to discover our spiritual gifts so we can find our spiritual niche in ministry. A lot of people, they're in the, by the way, we call them, what do we call them? Low entrance, shallow end ministry responsibilities. You all start somewhere, making coffee, you know, and that's, by the way, you got to make coffee in the Sunday school class, amen? Got to have that. We're not saying that's not important. But then as we grow, God has some other responsibilities. Some people, they're just in the wrong ministry, and they're frustrated, and they're like, what's going on? By the way, if you're in our church, we have your name somewhere. It's in our computers, and your name, next to your name, it says there's an S next to it. That means saved. We want to make sure you're saved. Then there's a B. If you're saved, we want to make sure you get scripturally baptized. Then there's a third letter. There's a D. It's discipleship. If you've been saved and baptized, it's M. We want you to join a New Testament Baptist church. Join the church. There's a church covenant, saved, baptized, married. Then that's an M, and then next to the M is a D. Once you've been joined the church, we want you to go through discipleship. And that, you say, what is that? That just helps you. Discipleship is lifelong. It's just to help you to get to a point to where now it's time to serve in the church. And then next to the D is a J. It would be nice to say M, but we already have an M. You say, what's J? A job. God wants you, really, our responsibility as pastors is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. So, one reason spiritual gifts is to help you to find your spiritual niche. Another is to have better harmony in your home, with your marriage, and in child-rearing. Now, I'm going to jump into this real fast because we don't have a lot of time. Now, the first gift we want to just discuss this morning is the prophet. Can everybody say prophet? Look at verse 6, okay? We already read it. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to you, to us, whether prophecy. Now, here we go. You can look up here. I'm going to give you some characteristics of a prophet. What we're trying to do in a really short time is find out what your spiritual gift is, what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, and how to use those for God's glory, and then how to understand everybody else. Okay, mercies. Well, I'm getting ahead of my. Here we go. Characteristics of a prophet. He has a need to express himself. He has alertness to dishonesty. He has a desire, or she has a desire, for justice. He has openness about his faults. He has wholehearted involvement. He has a loyalty to truth versus people. He has a willingness to suffer for right. He has persuasiveness in defining truth. Dangers of a prophet: making quick impressions about people. That guy right there, something wrong with him. You don't even know his name. I can see his left eye is, trust me, I know what I'm talking about. Stay away from him, kids. Exposing without restoring. Sinner, get out of here. Jumping to conclusions. Reacting harshly. These are when you're not walking in the Spirit. Jumping to conclusions, reacting harshly, being unforgiving, condemning themselves, cutting off people who fail, lacking tactfulness and rebuke. This brother needs to be corrected. Son, your sin is going to find you out. Okay? There might be maybe a different way. So, I heard that. I've quoted that right from the Bible. Lacking tactfulness in correction and rebuke. Dwelling on the negative. By the way, get this. Prophets keep a church pure. Now, let me just tell you this. We can't have too many prophets. It's going to run the whole crowd off. But I'll tell you what. Every church needs a handful of prophets to keep the church pure and clean. I heard the other day, actually, I heard a message on spiritual gifts, and here was the thought. Prophets prevent judgment in a church, and it's probably the prophets in America that are putting the brakes on God's judgment in America. So if you know, by the way, who was just thinking about somebody right as we were going through that list? Raise your hand. Okay? All right. By the way, typically your spouse can tell if your spiritual gift better than you can. You say, why? Because they're always looking at you, and they're always sizing you up. Okay? So that's the prophet. Number two, the server, verse 7. We just read that, verse 7. It says, or ministry, of course, ministry, the word there means to serve. Let us wait on our ministry. The servant. Here's the strengths of a servant. They see practical needs. They need appreciation. By the way, you find a servant in the RU ministry, a lot of your work is done. But I tell you this, if you don't thank them, they're going to get a wounded spirit. And guess what they're doing? They're joining the Filipino ministry. You got to appreciate servants. Okay? By the way, there's some servants in our church. Jaslyn Cockle's a servant. I've said this, if I died, she can pastor this church. You say, why? Because she's always helping. She's helping everybody in the whole church. And every once in a while, I have to pull her back on the reins and say, hey, sister, you're not a Spanish ministry worker. Okay? But they see practical needs. They need appreciation. They like short-range projects. You say, why? They get disinterested real fast. Give them a short-range project, it gets done. There's often disregards for personal weariness. They get sick a lot if they're not careful. You say, why? They're helping everybody in the church and everybody in the world, and they're helping all the community organizations, and they just, they meet needs quickly. What are their weaknesses? Sometimes they work to exhaustion. They may give unrequested help. Okay? They take initiative to a new level. Difficulty, they have a difficulty in saying no. They may neglect their God-given responsibilities. Okay? Number three, teacher. Okay? Verse 7. It says, or he that teacheth on teaching. Now here's their strength. They validate truth. The teachers keep the church doctrinally pure. The prophet keeps us holy. The teacher keeps us from heresy creeping in. They rely on established resources. They present truth systematically. They desire thoroughness in sermons and personal study. What are some of their weaknesses? They become upset at those that are not thorough as they are. By the way, teachers have a hard time with exhorters. I'm an exhorter. They're saying, hey, can you validate all this? Come on, you're saying a lot of stuff. Can you get some, can we get some cross-referencing over here? By the way, I'm glad they're here. But teachers, sometimes they could take that to see. Teachers, sometimes they despise people for lack of credentials. They're like, where does this guy go to college? What kind of books is he reading? Okay? Or does he have any degrees behind his name? Okay? They argue over minor issues. Okay? And they don't have to be a pastor. A teacher is not necessarily a teacher. A teacher is somebody who's detailed and they study and they want to validate truth and praise God for the teachers. So we have the prophet, we have the teacher, we have the servant. Okay, how many know a teacher? By the way, they like to study. They like to study. By the way, we're as Christians, we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved. Okay, but a teacher takes it to a new level, which is good. We need teachers. We need teachers in the church to keep the church doctrinally pure. We need teachers in the Bible college to teach the preacher boys and teach the workers to study the Bible. And also teachers are meticulous on the construction site. Teachers, details, okay? And so then there's the exhorter, verse 8. Look at verse 8. Stay awake. By the way, some of you are fighting this morning because you didn't understand that your wife is a mercy and the raccoon came in the backyard and she didn't get the kids already because there was a wounded raccoon. And you think she's unspiritual because she's not taking care of the kids and getting the shoes. You know what? She's a mercy. Let her cry and let her take care of the little raccoon and just, you know, roll your eyes. Okay. Hi, honey. Okay. Quit thinking she's unspiritual because she's like that. We just want everybody just like us. Okay? So look at where are we? Teacher? Exhorter. By the way, the exhorters are the best Christians in the church. Verse 8. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Okay? Their strengths. They have the ability to discover root problems. Exhorters are committed to spiritual growth, not arrival. Okay? They can take people from where they are and try to get them to the next level. They know how to take steps of action. They're good problem solvers. They're hope givers. They understand cause and effect well. They explain the why behind the problem. What are their weaknesses? They keep others waiting because they're helping so many people. Sometimes they have unrealistic expectations in problem solving. I shouldn't say this, but I don't. If the doctor says they're going to die, I tell people, how does he know? And let me say this, a lot of times they do die. But I'll go in there. We had one of our, he was saved. He hadn't been in our church in a while, but his wife's been faithful to our Khmer department. And he had lung cancer. And the doctor sent him home and said he's going to die in a couple days. I told them all, don't give up. I told them, hey, you know, maybe down in Tijuana he can get laetrile treatment. Go talk to Brother Al Perez. They told him. Al Perez was on the work site yesterday. He looked better than the rest of us. And the cancer doctor said, you know, we can't do anything. Or, you know, they told him a bunch of stuff. And his wife was coming to me preparing for the funeral like 4 months ago. And I'm, whoa, I don't know if that's that bad. He was on the job site yesterday. He probably lived longer. Now, me, but sometimes I might say, Brother Pineda, you know, trust me, you might not die. And he dies tomorrow, and his wife hears that, and she's booing, the pastor said he wasn't going to die. Okay? So there's strengths and weaknesses. Temptation to be proud of visible results because of problem solving. Okay, the giver. Can everybody say giver? Giver, look at verse 8. I'm going through this real fast, but we're going to sort of wind down and look at verse 8. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Verse 8, the giver. Okay, giver strengths. They have the ability to see resources. They like to have quality gifts. They exercise personal thriftiness, usually. They use their gift to motivate others. Okay? I don't know the Brother Mike West. I do know this. I don't know him that well. It seems like he's a giver. Do you know him using his resources to go all around the world to these churches and these, you know what it does? It inspires the people in the church to do more. Okay? Him coming here, it inspired all of us to show up at the work site. We had over 100 people there yesterday. If these three couples didn't come, we wouldn't have had over 100 people there. Okay? And so givers, it's like they can't pay for everything, but they have some way to inspire people to give more. Their weaknesses, sometimes they use gifts to control people. Sometimes they cause people to look to them instead of God. Sometimes they wait too long to give. Number 6, organizer. Can you say organizer? The Bible uses it, says ruler. Verse 8, strengths. Strengths. Okay? They have the ability to visualize the final product. They do need loyal associates. They have the ability to delegate. They make a job look easy. They are alert to details. They understand the completion involves cleanup. They withstand reaction to a project. Nehemiah was obviously an organizer. He was a ruler. He took this huge project that for years nobody can do, and he withstood the reaction, he withstood all the problems, and he organized all these families to get the job done. Their weaknesses are that view people as resources. They're going, okay, we got the project. You. Oh, you don't go to our church? Are you saved? No, that's okay. We might get you saved in this project. Okay, so sometimes they use viewing people as resources, may use delegation to avoid work. Being unresponsive to appeals, they're putting projects ahead of people. May overlook workers' serious flaws. Okay? This guy's a fantastic worker. Brother, he was doing heroin yesterday. That's okay, as long as he does it in the bathroom and we don't see it. Okay? He's looking at the project. The only way to get projects to get done is we get this guy. sometimes fails to praise people. Number seven, this is the last one. Then we're gonna sort of bring this home. This is mercy. Can you say mercy? Mercy. Okay, we see that in verse number 8. Okay, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Mercy. The strengths, they're very loyal. They empathize with hurting people. By the way, you say, who should you send? By the way, when someone goes to the hospital, let me just say this. Many people have a hard time visiting hospitals. I never forget, I'm a pastor. I've had to work at it. You know, I had to get like hospital pills just to go to the hospital. Just so I don't, I was in Bible college and my uncle had a massive heart attack and he was in the hospital. I'm like 22, 23 years old. And, hey, there's one of the nephews is studying to be a minister. Why don't you go visit him? So let me visit. I walk in there. This is about 25 to 30 years ago. And I walk in there. I'm just a young, about 30 years ago. And I walk in there. And I go in the ICU, my face turns pale. The nurse sees me, they grab me and escort me out. They say, you okay? I'm thinking, I'm over here to try to help my uncle. I'm about to pass out in the ICU. Okay? Mercies, they just cry for everybody. But we need mercies. We need mercy. I'm not a mercy. Okay? I go to the hospital because I love our people, and, I go in there and try to be, you say, what do you say when someone's dying? Who knows what to say? We love you, and God loves you, and, do you want to say, heaven's wonderful? By the way, sometimes you do. I mean, if they say, I'm ready to go, then we're going to talk about heaven, okay? But if they don't talk about heaven saying they're ready to go, I'm not bringing out all the verses on Revelation about the, and then the pearly gate. We're not going there. I don't want to scare them. But the mercy is very low. Empathize with hurting people. Deeply sensitive to people. They desire to remove hurts. They emphasize a lot of love. Nothing wrong with that. It's important. Okay? But by the way, please get this. You can't have all mercies in the church. And I'm going to tell you some of the weaknesses of the mercy in just a minute. You can't have all prophets in the church. Okay? God knew what he was doing. Okay? By the way, mercies are attracted to prophets. You find a prophet, typically they're going to be married to a mercy. It's the weirdest thing in the world. You said, prophet, calling down fire from heaven. And here's a mercy. I'm praying for you. How are you attracted to that guy? Weaknesses. What are the weaknesses of the mercy? They take up offenses for others that are wrong. So here's Brother Myers. He's in trouble. And Brother Panay is a mercy. And God's spanking him. And his wife's spanking him. And the pastor's spanking him. And here's the mercy. Hey, God loves him. And we're like, I know. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth us. Now bend over. Mercy's ours taking up an offense for somebody. Okay? And by the way, we're going to get to this. Understand the strengths and understand the weaknesses. Mercies tolerate wrong if they're not in the spirit. Well, God loves everybody. We understand that. Okay, but this individual shouldn't be doing this. They depend on emotions rather than truth. Often, please get this. If you're a mother and you're a mercy, please get this next point. Often, mercies have children that fail spiritually because the merciful mother, or sometimes the merciful father, was too tolerant on their children's sin. One of the best sermon titles I've ever heard was this. Dr. Ron Williams, he had the home, about 40 years old now, he had the home for rebellious girls. He had a title. The title of the message was Mean Moms. And the whole thing was, mean moms produce wonderful daughters. You say, mean? No, what he's saying is, moms that hold the standard up and hold the scriptural standard and say, we're not compromising here, we'll love you at the same time. If we have to spank you, we have to correct you, we have to take some privileges. Okay? Still awake out there? Mercies cut off insensitive people. Okay? In other words, mercy sometimes they'll cut off a prophet. No, he's unkind. And look at, I picture mercy's picture. By the way, we all picture Jesus through our spiritual gifts. The mercy pictures Jesus, you know, bringing the lady with the five men and all this and, you know, restoring. And by the way, that's good. Okay. The prophets, where they picture Jesus. Whoo, kicking over the tables in the temple. Whap, everybody out of here. Right? Okay. Brother Ray, he's a prophet. He said, come on. Okay. By the way, you know where the amens come from. You never can get everybody amen. You say, the mercies are amen when you're up there crying. The prophets are up there amen when you're screaming and yelling about sin. The exhort, you know, so understand that we're all different. Now, real fast, guys, why don't you pass this out? Can we have a piano player? Now, let's look at this. We've passed this out before. I don't think we've ever passed it on Sunday morning, okay? You say, what is this? This is just very, just real practical. Look, I heard the message mentioned. Most churches, this is not original, this is not mine, I'm quoting. Most churches have their problems right here. They don't understand their pastor's gift. Pastor doesn't understand the people's gift. People don't understand their gifts. So the mercies are getting mad at the prophets, and the prophets are getting mad at the mercies because they're compromisers. The exhorters are, you know, getting upset because people don't understand. I'm busy. I'm trying to help people. Look here. Let's look at, we're at the kitchen table. Or no, we're not at the kitchen table. We're at a party. The prophet, we're at a party, somebody knocks over the cake. Okay, let's read. Understand the basic motivation of each spiritual gift. If each of the seven motivational gifts were represented in a family and someone dropped the dessert on the floor, here's what each one might say, okay? Prophet, that's what happens when you're not careful. By the way, I've learned Brother Stevenson's a prophet and his wife's a mercy. Okay, by the way, let me say this. We need a prophet on the construction site. Brother Ratana is an exhorter. He's a problem solver. Okay? But we need somebody with a whip out there on the construction site. You're doing this wrong. You're doing that wrong. You're doing that wrong. Okay? Well, Brother Ratana is fixing it. Okay? The server. Oh, let me help you clean it up. Motivation is to fulfill a need. The mercy, oh, don't feel badly. It could have happened to anyone. Okay? The teacher. Okay, here's the teacher, right? The reason that it fell is that it was too heavy on one side. Motivation. By the way, the teachers, the internet is their best friend. Oh, man, they study everything. Why do the fleas come in the middle of September? I can care less. Shh, kill them. Exhorter, next time, let's serve the dessert with the meal. Motivation to correct the future. Giver, what's the giver going to do? He'll go buy another cake. I'll be happy to buy another dessert. Give tangibly. Organizer, by the way, organizers, their fingers are really in good shape. They tell everybody else what to do. Here's organizer. Jim, would you get the mop? Sue, please pick it up. And Mary, help me fix another dessert. Look on the other side. We're at the hospital, okay? If seven Christians representing each of the motivational gifts visit a sick person in the hospital, here's what each one might say based on the perspective of his gift. Server, here's a little gift. Now I brought your mail in, fed your dog, watered your plants, and washed your dishes. Now look, most of us, we're not thinking about dishes and dogs and mail. Teacher, I did some research on your illness, and I believe, nowadays, you know what the teacher does? He brings in a stack of printed pages, why you're sick, what's going to happen in the next couple weeks, and how you can be healed, and if you don't, you're probably going to die in 3.4 weeks. The giver, do you have insurance to cover this kind of illness? You know what they do? I think they have some foundation for something like this. The giver is not always given the money, they just know how to find the money. The exhorter, How can we use what you're learning here to help others in the future? Prophet. You got to keep prophets away from the hospital. What is God trying to say to you through this illness? They've got some prophets on the front row. Is there some sin you haven't confessed yet? Organizer, don't worry about it. About a thing. I've assigned your job to four others in the office. Okay, now put that away. Put in your Bible, and let me say a couple things as we close. Number one, be patient with people not like you. Can I get an amen? Too many unnecessary fights. I size people up. I'm going, that's just their spiritual gift. That's just their spiritual gift. Okay? Your spouse. By the way, look, you know what you can do over McDonald's today, or if you're going out for steak dinner or something? Supersize it. Must be a giver. Talk to your spouse about their spiritual gift. Oh, you know, you're just worldly. No. Maybe their spiritual gift sort of motivates them to do certain things. You're just mean. You're so unchristlike. You might have a prophet in the house. That prophet just might keep the whole thing pure. You could probably wound a few spirits, knock a couple. Prophets are knocking people down. Mercies pick them up off the concrete. The exhorters heal them. Those you work with. Those in the church. Number two, learn to work as a team. Okay? All these spiritual gifts. Brother Ray and Filipino ministry. You know what you do? You get the servers serving. Okay? Get the mercies, doing the mercy stuff. And look and try to discover people's gifts and help them, those in the church. Work as a team. Don't be frustrated because you are slower in some areas. By the way, sometimes we get, oh, man. People ask me, what do you, mercies are good. Brother, say Brother Ray's, his family's all alive, but let's say your mom passed away. You know what some people do if they're not a mercy? They'll see Brother Ray in the hallway, they'll turn away because they don't know what to say. And then they go home and they're on a guilt trip for a week. I can't believe I don't know what to say. You know what you do? Just say, Brother, I'm praying for you. Okay? Because you're not a mercy doesn't mean you're not a good Christian. Okay? And so be patient with people. Learn to work as a team. Don't be frustrated unnecessarily. We're not saying with sin, but with areas that you're slower in. It's not your strength. And then, this is, and this could be a whole sermon, find your spiritual niche at church and serve here. Let me say this. If you're saved, you've been baptized, and you want to serve the Lord, God wants you to serve here at Pacific Baptist Church. Okay? And there's something for you to do. And I don't mean the first day you arrive here, but you should be serving in your local church. Let's stand together, and let's bow our heads for just a moment. Real practical message. Not real inspirational, but practical. But let's bow our heads for just a minute. I'm going to ask you a question.